Welcome to CCC, the Chaos Computer Club in Berlin. Today we have our Datengarten 103, and I want you all to give me a warm applause for Lea and Joel, Jens. So we have today's topic, Wikidata, dive into the free knowledge base and build things with it. And afterwards we will have a short Q&A, and to get you all on the stream and on the recording, I will come to you with a mic. And for now, Jens and Lea will give us a short introduction to Wikidata, and I wish you all have fun with it, and Jens and all. Jens and Lea. Okay, a big applause.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for welcoming us. I'm Lea, and that's Jens. We're both working at Wikimedia Deutschland. And without further ado, we will dig directly into the topic. What is this Wikidata thing? So Wikidata, it's a database, or more exactly a knowledge base, that is storing all kind of interesting information about the world. Wikidata contains wiki, that means that is built on the technology that is the wiki, and it's also part of the Wikimedia project. So you may know Wikipedia, of course, that exists in more than 200 languages, but there are also other projects like Wikimedia Commons and so on and so on. They're all shown here, and Wikidata is one of them. That was launched almost 7 years ago. We're about to celebrate, actually, its birthday here in Berlin and in other parts of the world. 7 years old, that's quite already old for a website, but as for the Wikimedia project, it's rather new, because Wikipedia is almost 20 years old. Yeah, I know. Anyway, Wikidata, the goal of Wikidata is to store structured data. So unlike Wikipedia, that is storing text, content, paragraphs, sentences, description, whatever, in Wikidata we stick to the facts, we stick to the raw information, and what is very special about Wikidata is that it's been built to be edited and reused both by humans and by machines. So that means we can build all kind of scripts, bots, whatever, to both edit the content and reuse the content. So what's also interesting about Wikidata is that it is multilingual, in the sense that, unlike the Wikipedias that all come with their own language version and the content of it can be different from a language version to another, there is only one Wikidata, and all the information that it stores in there is aimed to be accessible in all the languages, which means that the community also needs to be international, and there are actually plenty of people from all over the world that are contributing to Wikidata in many languages. And English is one of them, is not the main language, and the others are translations. For example, all the languages are kind of equal, at least for the content, and people can just translate all the information in the languages that they speak. And as I just said, it's a collaborative project, meaning everyone can participate, and we have people from various countries, various ages, backgrounds, editing Wikidata. Some of them, I would say most of them, are doing it on their volunteer time. They're not paid for it. They just do that for the fun of collecting all the information that they can. Some people also do that on their work time, for example, if they work in a library or in a museum or even in any kind of organization that has this common goal of collecting and gathering content. Maybe they want to also add it in Wikidata, but that's something we're going to explain a bit further later. And so what's the point of collecting all of this data if it's not to have it connecting to other databases? Because we didn't invent databases with Wikidata. Let's be very clear, some other organizations, plenty of other organizations, started gathering data way before we did. But the goal that we have on Wikidata is to actually connect with all together all of this ecosystem of like structured data, open data, but not also not non-open data to be kind of a hub to which then the people who want to reuse the information can quickly connect and see the connection between, I don't know, something that has an identifier in the German National Library and another identifier that is different on the French National Library, and both of them are actually connected through Wikidata. And all of this is released under free license, something that is very, very close to public domain, that is Creative Commons CC0. I guess you're familiar with it, but basically it is the one that is offering the most freedom to reuse the content, because we wanted to make sure that everyone can reuse it, and not only organizations that have a lot of power or an army of lawyers that can do all kind of things with license. We actually want it to be accessible to everyone, and CC0 is allowing that. And basically, Wikidata is trying to give structured information about the world while knowing that the world is messy, and the database is structured in a way that we are able to describe how messy the world is, and that, I don't know, the mayor of a city is not necessarily a human, for example, because maybe in some place, for some reason, they decided to elect a cat as a human. And we should be able to describe that in Wikidata without being blocked by the software saying, no, sorry, mayor of city must be human. This kind of things is part of the core development of the software behind Wikidata. So, now we introduced a bit the topic, let's have a very quick look at what a Wikidata page looks like. So if you're familiar with Wikipedia, you know that pages are actually articles with some content. Here it's slightly different. We have what we call the items, and we have one specific one per topic, concept that is existing in the world. And for example, we have here one about the Chaos Computer Club. So what we see here, I'm not sure if you see it very well, but we have what we call the label, which in the case in English is Chaos Computer Club, and then next to it we have this identifier that starts with a Q. This Q number is actually the unique identifier for every single concept in Wikidata. And the idea is that one should not rely on the string of text, because, for example, if I open this page with my interface in Chinese, then I'm not going to see this, but I'm going to see, or in Korean, like we see here, the title of the page will not be the Latin alphabet anymore, but the Korean alphabet, because that's what I want if I speak Korean. So we don't rely on the string of text that is describing a concept, but actually we have a unique identifier for that. And then for every language, ideally, we have a label, we have a very short description that is mostly used to disambiguate the different topics. I can show you that quickly later. And then we have the possible aliases, also known as of the thing. And once this is done, we can dig into the statements. And the statements are basically describing what is this thing, what is it that we have to say about the concept we're talking about. So we have, the statements are structured this way. We have a property that is basically kind of asking a question. And this property, instance of, is asking the question, what is it? And then we have the values that are giving some answers. So you can already notice that there is not always only one answer to a question. So what is the Chaos Computer Club? It is an advocacy group, okay. It is a voluntary association, very good. It is an association, okay. We have two different items for that. And it is a computer club, okay. Seems quite accurate. And then we have another one that is asking about what's the inception date, and then we have the date. We also have the full name, the short name, and so on and so on. The list goes on. And that's the core of a Wikidata item. And you can see as well on the right side, you have the links to Wikipedias. Because one of the goals of Wikidata at the very beginning, 7 years ago, was to, and it still is, to centralize some part of the data that we have on all the Wikipedias, because although the language versions are different from each other, there are some parts of the information that we can actually store in one place. And one type of information was these links that are bringing you from one Wikipedia to another when you want to switch language. And another type of data could be actually these facts, like the date of inception of an association or the number of inhabitants in Berlin. This kind of things ideally should not be updated on English Wikipedia and on German Wikipedia separately, but ideally they should be stored on one place. So only one person can update it when a new number comes out, and then it's displayed on all the Wikipedias. And this is one of the goals of Wikidata as well. If we want to go a bit more into... Sorry. So that's the main page of Wikidata. So the interface is now in English, but you can also switch it to whatever language you want. And I'm just going to have a quick look at Berlin, because it's an interesting item for this. So first of all, if I type Berlin in the search field, you will notice that there is actually not only one Berlin. There are plenty of Berlins. And this is where the description is very useful. We have the capital and largest city of Germany, but we also have a bunch of cities in the USA that are also called Berlin. And then if we would scroll a bit more, we would see, I think there is a rock music album from some artist or whatever that is called Berlin. And in Wikidata, we always have different items for all of these things, because although they have the same name, it's different things. But for now, what we want is the capital city of Germany. And we're going to see now the same structure as what we have here. We even have a beautiful picture coming from Wikimedia Commons. We have our labels and descriptions in all kind of languages. And then we can go through the statements. I'm not going to show you all of it, because the Berlin item is actually pretty full and pretty well described. So there are plenty of stuff, the picture for Commons. I wanted to show you, oh yeah, this is funny, the demonym is the name of the people who live in a city in various languages. And for example, in Wikidata we describe all of this, and so I can tell you that in French, for example, we say Berlinois or Berlinoise, depending if it applies to masculine or feminine, and all of this can be described in Wikidata, with some little extra thing that we can add to the statements, that is the qualifier. So basically I say, what's the demonym for the Berlin people in French? It is Berlinois in French, but only if it's for masculine. If it's for feminine, I will use this one. And so on and so on, and we have this for several languages. What's also interesting about Wikidata is that we store information, but not only about the present, not only about now. We also store some kind of historical information. And this gives us some kind of, in some cases, some kind of a timeline of the things. Because here, at the question, in which country is Berlin? The answer is a bit more complicated than just Germany, because we can then, with the qualifier start time and end time, we can actually describe the whole timeline of the history of the country. So we have plenty of stuff. It's not necessarily sorted in the time order, but it doesn't really care, because if you want to reuse the data, then you can quickly sort it, started with the start time, for example. Same for Yeah, Berlin is the capital of what? That was a weird way of phrasing the question, you know what I mean? Here we also have various answers, and so on and so on. What I wanted to show you, at the very bottom of the page, we're gonna have, yeah, we have audio pronunciation, we have all kind of stuff. The external identifiers. We have, yeah, license plate code, yeah, sure. That can be useful for, if you want to know about it. Yes. And this seems pretty not really understandable, but the very cool thing about this is this is the connection with the other databases that I was telling you about before. So we have all kind of the VF thing, for example, is the French National Library repository, where they store information about all the things. Because as said, we and the libraries actually have very similar goals. We want to describe the world and we want to store all the resources that talk about this. So now I know that the identifier, the unique identifier in the French repository database is this number. And actually, if I click on it, that would lead me directly to the website when their website is providing a stable URL thing, which is not always the case, but at least we store the identifier, and then on their side they do whatever they can. And together with it, we have the GND ID, that is the German National Library, and so on and so on. So someone who would like to scrap and, let's say, ask the question, what are the identifiers about Berlin in all of this National Library catalogs, could do it very easily, thanks to Wikidata. And just to show you very quickly, just like the rest of the Wikimedia project, the idea is that you can edit it directly if you see something that is missing or if you see something that you would like to improve. You could directly edit it by clicking on this edit button here. I'm not going to show you the whole process, but it's pretty straightforward. It's opening an editing mode, and here you can change the thing. I also noted that we also like to reference the information, just like on Wikipedia, so we like to track at least where it comes from, and ideally an external source that we can trust that is providing the information. In that case, it's tracked that the information is coming from French Wikipedia. That's not the best source ever, but that's what we have for now. And on other type of information, we would hopefully get better references, like, yeah, with the URL of the Berlin website for the number of vehicles per 1,000 people, for example. This kind of statistic, why not? Sure. So that's the kind of stuff that we can store in Wikidata. All right, back to my presentation. I think it was a bit too... Yes, okay. And in total, at the moment, we have around 62 million items or like concepts that are described into Wikidata. And I have to say this number is changing all the time. I prepare my slides and then the day after that for another talk, it's already out of date because it's growing so fast. People keep adding a lot of stuff because the way we describe things is very precise. So we have, for example, we could have theoretically one item for each scholarly article that exists in the world, and people started doing that, for example, entering all the scientific papers into Wikidata. That's fine, but that's also what explains this crazy high number. And this is a map of all the items that have a geolocation. I didn't show you that on the Berlin article, but of course, for this kind of topics, we can put coordinates on this. For other ones, of course not. And so this is the map. Each little point that is yellow and then can appear white on the map is one of this located point. And on the map, we can clearly see that we still have some knowledge gap. And then this area of the world, some of them are overrepresented, some of them are underrepresented. And that's also connected to where the community comes from at the moment. So we clearly see that in the future, we really need to focus on getting knowledge from all around the world and not only from North America and Europe. But things are getting better in general over the years. And this is the number of active editors, whatever that means, because on Wikidata it's a bit difficult to count. So active editors are actually people who make one edit per month, which for a regular Wikidata editor is like super low. People who are super active and using tools to edit more efficiently, they can do thousands of edits every day if they want to. But that's giving you an idea on how many people are part of this group of people that are editing Wikidata. Knowing that on the top of that, there are also the people who don't edit, but just reuse the data for their website, whatever. We're going to show you plenty of examples later. And so that makes actually more people than that in the what we call the Wikidata community. And we also have machines, bots, scripts. Usually they behave nicely. When not, we can contact the person who wrote them and tell them to behave better. And this is some statistics about the number of edits per month, which is really, really crazy. This is actually more than the biggest Wikipedia among the Wikipedias, which is the English Wikipedia. So that's pretty impressive. All right.
Shall we do something about querying? You can, of course, not only put this data into Wikidata, but you can also query it. And to query it, you use a language called Sparkle, which is short for Sparkle Protocol and RDF Query Language. So it's a recursive acronym. It looks a little bit like SQL but or SQL, to be honest, I learned Sparkle better when I unlearned all my SQL stuff, because the languages are different enough, even if on the outside they look similar. You can do a lot of queries. So what is also fun about Wikidata is that some visualizations are built in. So if you tell the query page, visualize this as a map, then a map that comes from OpenStreetMap comes out. So if you write a query that asks, give me all the airports that are named after a person, and then color code them by gender, this is what falls out of the query engine of Wikidata. Or you could ask for members of the British Parliament that have ancestors who are identified as possibly mythical. Boris Johnson is among them. One of his ancestors is some creature from a fairy tale, apparently. Or you can look at the locations of Disney movies, another map. Or if you want to see, has the duration of movies or the genre of movies changed over the years, you can have a timeline, which you can have as a visualization for the average duration of movies and genre and year. Or you can see what the spacecraft missions or missions what they were named after and get a list. Or you can have all the plants listed that have an emoji for them. Or fictional items that are named after real items. So Princess Zelda was named after Zelda Fitzgerald. And families who have had the same occupation for five generations. We have a lot of politicians in there. Countries that have a sun as part of their flag design. Software titles ranked by the number of readable file formats. So if you're in doubt, open things with Mathematica. Apparently it opens the most formats. You can have a picture gallery of cheese variants and where they stem from. That is another visualization that you can have. Or if you are looking for elements in a picture, you can say as a query, give me all the paintings by Vermeer that have a map in it, and then make a picture gallery out of it. I like this one, cause of death for members of noble families. We have the usual stuff like cardiac arrests or being shot or stuff like that, but falling from a horse ranks pretty high for members of noble families. And this one is another map that I like very much. These are trees grown from seeds that went around the moon and where they are located in the world. So it is truly a database where you can ask questions about the sum of all human knowledge. And you do that with a quaint little language called Sparkle. That is also one example. Head of states by Erdős number. Does anyone know what an Erdős number is? No? Okay, so it is something if you publish academically in science, then there's a good chance that you have an Erdős number, because there was a mathematician called Paul Erdős who published a lot of papers during his lifetime, mostly as a co-author. So if you have published in one field of science at all, probably you are N steps away from Paul Erdős, because he had so many co-authors. A co-author of Paul Erdős has an Erdős number of 1, and a co-author of a co-author has an Erdős number of 2, etc. So almost every natural science academic has an Erdős number, and there are also two head of states who have an Erdős number, and one of them is Angela Merkel. As a physicist, apparently she has published with someone who 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 has published with Paul Erdős. Let's try some sparkle.
Yes, absolutely. So, we're going to be only able to do a little demo right now. Sparkle is something that you probably want to... Oh, I'm going to switch to English for this. Yeah. That you want to take some time to play around and dig with it and take some time to learn it. The good thing is that you can start from scratch with a blank field like this, and it can be a bit scary, or you can take one of the many examples and have a look at what's happening. So, for example, we have cats here. And this is the query that is going to give us the list of all the cats that we have in Wikidata. I'm going to show you, so you see that I'm not fooling you. Here I have the list of the items and also the names of all the cats that we have in Wikidata, and we have 142. Some of them are real cats, some of them are fictional cats, we take them all. And this is the query to do such a thing. So you have this, you're selecting what you actually want to have. Is it a bit small? Maybe it is a bit small. How can I zoom in on this weird Apple machine? Thank you. Yeah, I think that's enough. Okay. So first of all, I ask what I want, and in that case, I want the item number, and I also want the label, so it's a bit nicer. And then I'm actually starting the query part, and what do I want? And as you saw earlier, we always have our Wikidata item, and then we have our property, and then we have the value, right? That's the three things that are connected together, and that's exactly what I'm going to ask here. So for the item that I'm looking for, I'm going to put a variable because I actually don't know yet what I'm looking for. I want all the cats, but that's all I know. But then what I actually want to know is to get the cats. And for that, I usually go to Wikidata and look at how the item is structured. In that case, I already know that the property that we use is instance of. That's the one we saw earlier that is basically asking what is this thing. And the value that we want is this Q number, that is the Q number for house cat, which is what I'm looking for at the moment. So the query I'm writing here is give me all the items, whatever, I don't know, that have in their Wikidata item instance of a cat. So anything that is a cat. And then I have this line that is just providing me also the labels, and in that case, in my language and fallback English, which basically means in English. And then I get my list, more or less, slowly, depending on the state of the server and how complex is my query and all kind of stuff. And that's basically it. But now, maybe we don't want cats. Maybe we want another animal. Maybe we want, I don't know, dogs. So what I'm going to do here is that basically what I need to change at that point is this Q number. The thing is that I could go to Wikidata and look what is the Q number for dogs, right? That would be a way to do it. But actually, the system is a bit smarter than that. So what I can do is type on dog. Is it working? With what key is it? Is it here? Control space. Okay. Also on Mac. Good to know. Control space. And then it's going to give me a list of suggestions. So it's slightly easier for me. And actually, what I'm looking at is this, yeah, dog, domestic animal. Okay, fine. So now I changed it in the query. I can run it again, and now I'm going to get all the dogs. Interesting. We have 381, which is more than cats, actually. So you cannot say that we're sold to cats. It's not true. So we have cats. It's cool. It's pretty cool. What I would like to have, though, is... no, we have dogs, sorry. Is the picture of all of these dogs, because if everything goes well, we have a picture on Wikimedia Commons that is connected to Wikidata, so that means we have a statement with the picture. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to add a new line to my query, because I still want only the dogs, but I also want the ones that have a picture. So I'm going to start with the same variable, because I'm still looking for an item that I don't know yet. And here, in Wikidata. So I'm going to put this thing that basically says I'm looking for a property. And here I'm going to start typing image because I think that's what it is. Yes, image. OK, very good. And here, well, the image, I don't know what it is. So I'm going to put another variable here that I'm going to call pick. And at the end of my line, I put a dot like this. But that's not entirely it, because if I actually want to have my picture as a result, I also need to add it here. So I add my picture here. And now, if I run it again, I'm going to have a new column that is giving me the link to Wikimedia Commons, because that's what I asked so far, the raw data. And you can notice that suddenly we went to 300 and something to only 88 results, because not all the cats in Wikidata have dogs in Wikidata have pictures, unfortunately. And now that I have this link to Commons, yeah, that's good, but I still don't see all the cutie doggos in Wikidata. And this is where the query service visualization service is very useful, because now I can just select the type of visualization that I want. And in that case, I don't have so many choices because I cannot do a line chart or anything, but I can do an image grid. And now it's loading again with a lot of cutie doggos. And you can see that a lot of them have, yeah, it's a mix of pictures, drawings, really nice, really cool. Okay. I can also show you how to wait, do we have time for this? I'm not sure. Yeah, no, maybe that was it for the very basic part. So you can ask for things, you can provide more description on what you want exactly, and you can also transform it in something that is nice and visual. But now, what about if we want to show a more complex query?
Yeah, let's look at one. And one of the examples that we always return to when we were developing Wikidata was that we said, let's build this knowledge base until the point where we can answer the question, what are the biggest cities in the world that have a female mayor? Because that is a rather complex question, and yeah, we can actually do that. So this would be a query that asks for the largest cities in the world with a woman serving as a mayor. So this is a bit more complex when it comes to Sparkle. It starts with the same select statement, but we want to have distinct values. So select distinct. We want to have a city. We want to have the label for that city. So that would be a description in the language, ideally English. We want to have the mayor, and we want to have the name, the label of the mayor. So select city, city label, mayor and mayor label, where. And then, because we're going to write this a lot, we are binding local variables. We will bind the human, female, gender. This is also something that we learned. Not all languages have the concept of female being the same for humans and for other organisms. So human, female, we bind this in the variable sex. And we also bind the concept of a city, a large and permanent human settlement. We bind this to the variable C. So give me a city that is an instance of. So far it's the same as with the cats and dogs example, but this gets a little bit better. So it's either an instance of, or, which is this slash thing here, or it is a subclass of a city. And then with the asterisk at the end, it says, follow this subclass chain until the end. So it could also be a subclass of a subclass. So give me anything that is either an instance of a city or a subclass or a subclass of a city. And that city should have a head of government, which is usually a mayor. And we put that into a statement. So In this case, we don't get the mayor name, but we get everything around that mayor. Also, when that mayor started to be in office, etc. We now have a statement around this head of government, and we put this in the variable mayor. And we make sure that we filter out everything of this list of mayors where the sex or gender is female. We built this was the variable before here. But we also filter out everything where an end time exists. So we don't want to have cities where a woman was elected at some point in time, but now there's a male mayor. We just want cities where currently there's a female mayor serving. Are you still following me? Okay, I see a lot of nodding heads. That's okay, good. So now to sort them, we would need to have the population. So we already have the city stored in this variable. We're asking for the population property, put this in this variable, population, and we order it in in descending order by population. Also, because this is going to be a long and complex query, we just want the top 10. Otherwise, this query might actually time out. So let's try out, what is the largest city in the world that has a female mayor? Any guesses? Okay. That's actually pretty obvious. It's Tokyo at the moment, but no, oh, that has changed. There's Mexico City. So if you ever have the question, what are the largest cities in the world with a female mayor? You can ask Wikidata that. Of course, you could also ask Wikipedia, but that would be a much harder way because you would have to go through all the city pages, find out who's the mayor, find out what their sex and gender is, and then rank it with population. And maybe that's not a super fun thing to do on a Saturday night. So isn't it nice that you have the chance to use Wikidata for such queries? And you can apply that, and lots of people actually do.
Exactly. So over the years, a lot of people started building tools or website or all kind of applications on the top of Wikidata. Since the data is easily queryable and reusable and under CC0, so everyone can reuse it freely, we got a lot of very interesting things, including stuff that we didn't really plan. So the most recent and probably one of the big successes for us is when actually very prominent libraries and who are widely recognized in their field as the one who organized the world, and the German one is actually one of the top one in terms of they know how to organize their stuff, started using Wikidata as well, and even playing a bit around with the software that is behind Wikidata, but we're gonna come back to this later. The Library of Congress also started doing that, so this is the kind of fancy names that show that the data and the structure is actually stable enough that such big organizations consider reusing it. One of the first groups of people who started building stuff on the top of Wikidata is Histropedia. They are basically building nicer timelines than what our query service is offering, including the pictures, including some extra information, and now they're providing this service to teachers, for example, who want to build nice personalized timeline for their students. We have, this is a broadcast company in Finland, and they did a use of Wikidata that we didn't expect. They started tagging their articles with Wikidata items, which brings them the possibility to tag them in a multilingual way, because Wikidata is natively multilingual. So whatever language you browse their website, you could have your tagging system in your language. So that was pretty smart. Scolia is a reuse of Wikidata that is focused on scientific articles, scholarly articles. So in there you can look for a topic, we can look for a scientist or anyone who published a paper, and you can get all kind of graphs about who are their co-authors, how many papers they published and when, what's the timeline, are there active publishers or not, all kind of data for people who get interested in this whole citation graph, if you heard of it, this kind of things. We also have, so the funny thing is that we also have companies, for example, who start reusing Wikidata without telling us and just doing it. And the nicer one actually mentioned it somewhere. And for example, we discovered by chance, one of our community members just told us one day, hey, I use Eurowings, and apparently they are using Wikidata for some of their application. It's not always very clear how they use it, but they use it, which is really great. Quora is also using Wikidata as a tagging system. We have systems that are doing natural language search, querying, that also started using Wikidata, and Ask Platypus was one of the prototypes where you can ask a question in with really phrasing the question and you can actually have the answer, and that comes from Wikidata. Inventaire is a service that's been built to make the list of the books that you have at home, like building your own little library software and listing all the stuff, all the books that you have. And instead of reinventing and recreating all the titles, content of the book, who's the author, or whatever, all of this kind of annoying data that you would have to build from scratch, then they also use Wikidata. We can also build some games based on Wikidata. This one, I like it very much. It's actually connecting pictures from Commons, the Wikidata item, and the geolocalization that we talked about at the beginning. And this is a typical guesser game. So you have a picture and you need to try to put it on the map. Where is it actually? And then you gain some point depending on how close you were and all this kind of stuff. But the core data come from Wikidata, and that's really cool. Speaking about game, this is a very recent one. So I don't know if you know, but Telegram is a thing, first of all. And Telegram bots are a thing. And people developing fully complete games on Telegram bots is also a thing. And this guy, for example, he built this like kind of game where you deal with your own mole and you get some shops and you get employees and whatever, this whole building game kind of. And you cannot really see it like this, but actually, all the things are based on Wikidata, which make his game very easily and cheap translatable in all the languages. So if you actually want to switch from English to German or whatever, the guy didn't provide any kind of translation. Wikidata is already providing the translation. So the translation of shopping mall or applicant or GitHub, no, probably not. Anyway, almost all of the content actually comes from Wikidata, and I think that's just unexpected and beautiful reuse of Wikidata. So we won't have the time tonight to show you all the tools that you can use to query the data, reuse it, and also various ways to edit it. I just wanted to mention a few of them, and then you can go and play with it later. The first one being the query service that we showed a bit. We, of course, have a bunch of APIs that you can use to retrieve some data, or also on the other direction, edit some data. You also have, so you can use Python, of course, that's pretty well designed for this. And there is, for example, a library called PyWikibot that is focused on editing the data, but you can also get some data from it, of course. And there are various other tools like this Wikidata, Wikibase command line editor that you can install, and then you can edit or get some data directly from your favorite command line editor. And yeah. I didn't put the link here, but on Wikidata itself, you have a tools page where you can see all kind of other tools that you can use. Tons of them.
The software behind it is called Wikibase. And when we started out, we just wanted to write some software that powers Wikidata, the project that has stuff about everything in the world. But then later we found out, okay, that kind of software where you can put structured data in a wiki and have everyone edit it is maybe useful for others. Wikibase basically is the software behind Wikidata. It has functionality to create and manage a knowledge base, and you can define your own properties, so you are not restricted to what you have on Wikidata. We already saw that when editing Wikidata a bit, it is a bit more modern than Wikipedia is, with lots of JavaScript UI elements. And What sells most people to it is that the data model that we have is super flexible. We mentioned that for instance, the mayor of a city can be a cat, but there are other things in the software where other databases might have constraints. For instance, when we started out with Wikidata, we had this property of sex or gender, and there were only two possible values for that. Now there are 23 values that are in use, and the database allows for that. You can just, when you find out the world is more complex, just add more properties, add more values to it. There are no constraints in that. For a lot of messy data, this is much more flexible and much more powerful than a data store that has key value pairs. And you can export it to a lot of structured formats like JSON, RDF, XML, N3, YAML, etc. And you can have your own Sparkle endpoint baked into Wikibase when you spin it up. Or to put it simple, with Wikibase you can order things in the world and you can make them readable, queryable by machines, and you can link things and concepts, and this is actually what the semantic web was all about. A few years ago, Tim Berners-Lee gave us, the makers of Wikidata, a little prize, and he said, you guys are really building my dream from back then. You actually doing this semantic web thing. And we do it the wiki way, which means let's not discuss this for 5 years until we come up with the perfect data model for the world. Let's start with something and then improve it along the way, and everyone can work with us. We are actually interested about more installation of Wikibase outside the Wikiverse, outside Wikimedia projects, and not all data is in scope of the Wikidata project. Maybe you have this very special domain that you care about a lot. Why not have a repository for that? For instance, imagine that you are running a great collection of gems and marmalades, the greatest in the world. And of course, you are the expert on that topic of gems and marmalades, and you use the description language for gems and marmalades that everyone in the field of marmalade studies uses, and you are really not happy about the fact that once you put your really fine-grained, very specialized information about the nuances of gems and marmalades on Wikidata, people on Wikidata would just say, huh, we kind of have this encyclopedic scope. Maybe this is taking it too far. We don't really want to have the number of every item in your gem collection. We would like to have some general information about gems, but maybe not every little piece. And then maybe your own Wikibase would be a good idea for you. And then link it to Wikidata for more general world information. But seriously, there are also real-world examples for that. For instance, there is FactGrid, which is a project from the upcoming field of digital humanities. Yay! Humanities are getting digital now. It's not all about dusting off books and reading through them, especially if you work in literature science or in history. It used to be like you take this really thick, heavy book, and then after years of thinking, you come up with a new genius idea about it. But what these people did at the FactGrid project is that they inherited a box of scripts and letters from the historic Order of the Illuminati. Well, yeah, we all know this has some pop culture to it, but actually, historically, there was a group of noble people in Germany that had too much time on their hands. 17-something, and they called themselves the Order of the Illuminati, so they made their own little secret society and gave themselves code names and wrote coded messages to each other. And since they were Germans, they all documented this very neatly and bureaucratically and put it in a box. And this box was then scanned in quite recently, and all the information about who corresponded with whom was put into a Wikibase instance. And I really like what one of the leaders of that FactGrid project said. He said, now the database knows much more about the social structure of the secret society than we, the historians, know. Now we just have to find out the right queries to unearth that. And this is basically what digital humanities is about. You don't flip dusted books anymore. You just come up with nice queries to query the sum of all human knowledge. Rhizome is another project that uses a Wikibase. It is a project where art is collected, but it's a special kind of art. It's mostly internet media art from the early days of the internet, from the 90s or so. So they have all the weird early versions of Internet Explorer or Netscape Navigator, and you have to and all the Flash plugins to run all these experiments of artists on the early internet. And they wanted to have a museum software for their collection. And the museum software they looked at was basically like, so who's the painter of this building, painting? And even if it was more like you could also do art or performances in other museum software, they had very special things that they wanted to model in their data model. Like sometimes the programmer and the artist were the same person, sometimes it wasn't the same person. And for this fine-grained data models, they said, okay, I guess we just have to create our own. And they turned to Wikibase, and that gave them the maximum freedom to do that. I also like this one, Lingua Libre, which uses Wikibase to collect recordings of languages. If you have some time, you can go there and speak a few sentences in any language that you know, and then it will get recorded as an audio snippet, and all the metadata will be collected in a Wikibase that they are running. There's a lot of interest in the field of the life sciences. Wikigenome is a project that uses Wikibase to order genetic information. And there is even more coming with Wikibase. We are just more than 1.5 years ago, we started to promote this to the outside world and say, hey, maybe you don't only want to contribute to Wikidata. How about running your own Wikibase for your very specialized field? And only 1.5 years later, we see this tremendous spike with national libraries going crazy for using it, and lots of digital humanity people being in love with it. And we are going to develop more of it. One thing that we want to have in some form in the future is called federation, which means if you spin up your own Wikibase, it starts absolutely empty, completely naked. You will have to teach it things like a human or a thing, something like that. Maybe you want to use a basic vocabulary, and maybe you want to use the repository that has a basic vocabulary about everything in the world, which is Wikidata, to structure your data and then be more specific and add up on that. And in order for these Wikibases to talk to each other and take data from Wikidata to describe their own items, we are going to introduce something called federation. It's not 100% clear how it will look like, but we're going to do something about it. And that, of course, means that you can easily reuse the ontology that is in Wikidata, ontology being the smartest way of saying the order of things in the world. And we eventually end up with a Wikibase ecosystem. Exciting times ahead of us. If you are thinking about running this yourself, think about what items exist in your field, what properties you could have. You will probably need someone who can work as a sysadmin. You should have some domain knowledge about it, and someone should look into that query language to make use of the data. Basically, that's it from me describing Wikibase, and that also concludes our little introduction to Wikidata. And we are now extremely anxious to hear all your questions, if there are any. Thank you very much.
All right. Do we have any questions from the audience? Yeah, right in the front.
Thank you for your talk. And I usually have a very hard time exploring a new knowledge base or getting used to find the right formulation for my queries, for example, in Wikidata. So I remember once tried to query a list of German musicians and sorted by the number of children they had or something. And so I tried typing in has children, and I didn't find it. And so I thought about, okay, who could I look up who has children? Then I went to the Wikidata page, scrolled down, looked for the predicate, typed it in. And so I put my query together. And I just wanted to know if you have some more profound workflow to get used to a new knowledge base.
No, I wanted to mention, that's not exactly answering your question, but just wanted to mention that two things that are important, I think, to start querying using the query service is, first of all, to understand how Wikidata is structured. And I agree, it is not always easy. For example, your example of children is very good, because we don't necessarily, when we have an item about a person, we're not going necessarily to list all of their children, but on the item of the children, we're going to say his or her father or mother or whatever parent is this person. So you have to take it kind of backwards and to query who has as a mother this person that I want to know whose childs are. So you kind of need to get into it. And I agree, it's not always easy. And the second thing is that there is plenty of documentation, not only about the technical side of the language, but also various example of queries. There are people who recorded some full 3 hours video on how to use Parcel, and there is also a huge community that is here to help and help building queries and answering questions. So that was just to give you an overview of the existing resources, but maybe you want to say more about...
Yeah, just to general things about, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be two or three things. Anyway, so yes, looking at an example, for instance, if you want to know, I don't know, children of German musicians, going to Johann Sebastian Bach would be a good first stop. It's probably well enough worked on, and he had a lot of children. But as Leah said, sometimes it is not that the children are listed on the parent item. Sometimes you have to deduct this from the children itself and say, ah, father off, blah, blah, blah. But this is only true until, I don't know, next week someone in the community decides, no, we are going to have a property that says children or number of children even. So this is something that orthodox semantic web knowledge base people find really frustrating, because they just say, where can I download the ontology of Wikidata? Where is it all coded? And the answer is, nothing is fixed. This is all debated by the community, and it could change tomorrow. It usually doesn't, but it could. So it's all up for debate, and there is really no way to say you query it like this, because next week it could be totally different. This is the flexibility that comes with it, because we can model things that are not possible in more stricter models. We have all the flexibility, but that also means it's super frustrating, because you just have to find out how to do it right now. About finding your way through items and then going back. This is basically how I do it in the beginning. And that's, I think there's nothing to be ashamed of. Maybe it is just like with software developers. At the end of the day, we all end up at Stack Overflow, and this is part of our workflow. Sometimes things are just like this. And we all do the same stuff. We all look at items and then see how they are built. Yeah.
All right, I see another question from this direction.
You briefly mentioned that Wikipedias are using Wikidata in one way or another. I know there has been some controversy in the beginning, especially with some communities. Can you give us an update on that? And in general, how is the works with other people using open data, for instance, the Open Knowledge Foundation or others?
I can answer at least for the first part. So yes, since the very beginning, it's been it's been an ongoing discussion because Wikidata was built with the goal at the beginning to support the Wikipedias. After a while, it also became something wider. But we could think that all the Wikipedias embraced it widely and said, yeah, let's all reuse all the data. This is not how it worked. And on some communities, the discussion is very tight and people tend to say Wikidata is not stable enough, is not trustworthy enough, people don't provide enough references, it doesn't fit our very high standards in terms of information quality, we don't want to reuse it. Also, anyone could edit it, right? From any other place or even in a language that we don't know and we could not really check it. So yes, some communities embraced it more than the other. And it's very funny to notice that it has a lot to do with the size of the initial Wikipedia community. And for example, in English Wikipedia or German Wikipedia at the moment, the reuse of Wikidata is very low and there are regularly discussions about should we ban Wikidata completely from our Wikipedia. And that makes sense because these communities have the manpower to maintain all of this annoying data, like number of inhabitants in Berlin, by themselves. They have enough volunteers, they have enough time. So
at least they think so.
Because, yeah, or do they? Or at least they think that they have enough manpower that they can maintain the quality of the data by themselves without asking any external help. On the other side, we have a lot of Wikipedias, of language version of Wikipedias that have a very small amount of communities. A lot of Wikipedias are actually run by 3, 4, 5 people. And these people starting their Wikipedia in their language from scratch, finding super difficult to create all the articles, to maintain all of this data. And these people are way more keen to reuse Wikidata because they see for themselves, for their use case, they see how it's going to be useful for them. So for example, in the Catalan and Basque Wikipedias, these are two communities who are super small but super active and excited, and they embrace Wikidata fully. They have their, so this info box thing that is this the part on the Wikipedia article that is usually on the right side of the screen where that summarizes basic information. This is typically the case where Wikidata could come, the data could fully come from Wikidata. On some Wikipedias, it's out of the question. On some Wikipedias, like Basque and Catalan, they do it on almost all the articles now. And it's all a matter of a balance between do we care so much about data quality that we're a bit afraid that this data could be edited by someone else somewhere else, or is our priority right now to just get some content because and in an easy way because we are so small that we cannot create it all by ourselves. And this is what's happening. So the things are evolving. And even in the bigger community now, some discussions are happening. Also, the data quality of Wikidata gets better. Let's be honest, at the beginning of Wikidata, it was crap. It was mostly imported from Wikipedia, end of the story. Now we need to show to the community that it actually went better, that we can do great stuff with it. And I'm pretty optimistic in the fact that even the bigger communities at some point will start using it, at least in some projects. On English Wikipedia, for example, people working on Telescope, that's super specific, but that's how Wikipedia works. People are not all discussing about all the topics, but are gathered in small thematic projects. People about telescope or also genetics already reuse Wikidata, and other groups working on other topics, they decided to not use it all, and that's the status quo that we have right now.
And having said that, Wikidata itself has a community of its own, so not all of them are in there to help Wikipedia. Some of them are, say, well, I don't care about Wikipedia, I'm a Wikidatian instead. And I would say, even though it is hard to say that, but it feels like the Wikidata community is a little bit younger than the Wikipedia community. It's certainly less German than German Wikipedia, more international, maybe a bit more open to technology, stuff like that. So it feels very distinct from other communities, and maybe more conservative Wikipedia, Wikimedia communities. You ask about how we work together with other open data initiatives. We love them, and I hope they love us too. We work together with the Open Knowledge Foundation to do a series of workshops in Ulm, for instance. There's going to be some event that Lea will talk about, maybe if I poke her later this month, and there's going to be a site event that is organized by the Open Knowledge Foundation, for instance. If you have some interesting data to put into Wikidata, and if you care about open data, yeah, let's talk and let's connect with the Wikidata community how to put that in. Just don't upload it without looking at how the rules are and how we model things, but read a little bit of documentation, you're very welcome to put your open data on Wikidata generally. Yeah.
Same with OpenStreetMap, by the way. We love each other. OpenStreetMap is reusing part of our data. We try to connect to OpenStreetMap too, so it's a all win-win situation, I would say.
What about this event?
Oh, this little event that we're throwing at the end of the month. Yeah, it's called the WikidataCon, and it's basically the event gathering part of the Wikidata community. It's going to be here in Berlin. There's going to be a lot of nerdy stuff happening around Wikidata. So the event is full, but there's going to be an awesome live stream that's going to be provided by people who may be in this room. So it's going to be most of the sessions that are going to happen. One can follow them live or later in video. So it's going to be great.
All right. Do we have any more questions? Well, I for one have one. So is there any way, beside gathering data and gathering open data and give it to you, is there any other way we can help you? Can we support you in any way?
I think this was a little bit more technical than we do this usually, and we showed a lot of showcases. So what would make us really happy is if you build something cool on top of the data, and then more people learn about it and let us know what you have built. Hacking would make us most happy, I guess.
Definitely.
I hope there are people in this room qualified to do this. Yeah, I'm pretty positive about this. All right, so I guess this was it. This was our Datengarten 103. A big applause for Lea and Jon. I'm so sorry. I'm Jens. I somehow have some trouble with this name tonight. I'm so sorry. All right, a big applause for them.
Thank you.
And to all of you, thank you for coming here, and have a nice evening, and see you next time.